5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios, and I've been looking forward to this interview for a while. We're talking to UNC Bears standout linebacker, junior linebacker, David Hogue. David, my friend, thanks so much for giving us some time today.
Thank you for having me.
Man, every day I go to my email, I keep refreshing it. Another preseason award watch list for David Hogue. The latest one came out, Hero Sports announcing its preseason All-America teams on Thursday with you earning a spot on the second team. You got the five preseason recognitions already, my man. What does that do for your brain when you keep seeing this stuff? Do you try to shut it out, or are you flattered about it? How do you handle that?
It's more like a excitement but a disappointment. You know, I know that I could do way better, and I know I am going to do way better than last year. So it just adds more fuel to the fire, and I'm just ready to get back to work.
So when you see earning a spot on the second team for preseason All-America, you're looking at it going, hey, no, I want it to be first team. I'm looking at all of these awards saying, what can I do to just get to keep moving up that chain, so to speak?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I mean, that whole, once you're first, if you're not first, you're last thing. I've always been trying to just be better, you know, do better and be a better leader.
I mean, you were so good last year, too. Off a crazy season, you set the program's Division I record for sacks with 10.5. You added another 8 quarterback hurries, 70 tackles on the year. I mean, you were all over the field. And, David, I'm here, everybody I talk to, whether that's coaches or reporters for the Bears, talking about, man, there's going to be some stuff in play for this defense that's going to allow you to be do even more, to just fly all over the field and creating more havoc.
Yes, sir. And, you know, of course, I can't do anything great without this defense. This defense, especially the players on the field, is always the reasons why I'm in this predicament in the first place. I would not be as successful as I am on the field if it wasn't for these guys.
Well, talk to us about that defense a little bit, David, because, again, I'm hearing so much about how this unit is going to be even better than last year. And you guys were a solid unit last year, too. But, you know, talking to some defensive linemen, different linebackers, and, of course, yourself today, and it just sounds like you guys are putting something together special over there, especially on the defensive side of the football.
Exactly. And, of course, we had an extraordinary defense last year. But I feel like this defense now is way different from last year as far as, you know, the connection base that we have. We have Jordan Napke back, which I'm super excited to see how he plays. I mean, we lost him the first game at CU, so it's great to finally see him back. Of course, we have Urien back. We have R.J. Potts. We have Vincent King, Joe Brown, Ryan Capasso, Brooks Talkington. This defense is stacked with players, with opportunities, with people who is motivated and people who is hungry. So I feel like that is definitely a plus on our side. You know, we all have the same goal, the same objective, take one game at a time, win that game, and move on to the next one.
We're talking to UNC Bears junior linebacker David Hogue. So many cool awards coming in as far as what we're looking at. Also, you have recognition on the Buck Buchanan watch list as well. All Big Sky, Stats Perform, and Phil Steele, All America. But like you said, you're setting your sights even higher. David, can I ask you this question? I don't know if you pay attention to the preseason rankings and all of that stuff. I know most players kind of shuck that stuff off. But have you seen it? Have you seen where, you know, some of the coaches poll and the media poll has the UNC Bears? And do you use that as just crazy extra motivation?
I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're either second to last or last.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's funny. It is definitely funny to me because even the teams that we have beat, they're still ranked over us, which is kind of confusing, but it's preseason. I don't really pay attention to any of that. I mean, I proved so many people wrong individually last year, and I feel like it's time as a team we prove people wrong this year.
I love that mindset, too. I mean, there's no better way to view it. Do you guys talk about that at all? Do you, like, you know, even just hanging out, do you say, man, we're going to go out there and we're going to prove them all wrong? Or is it like an unwritten thing, an unsaid thing, something that doesn't have to be said? You guys can almost just do it with a look, like, no, we're going out there this season to prove everybody wrong.
It's something that we don't even need to say. It's something that we look at each other. As soon as it came out, I didn't look at it until days later. And outside people would text me, did you see the rankings? Did you see the rankings? And they brought it to my attention. And for me, it was like, okay. And I texted in a group chat along with a couple of others who texted in the group chat, and they said, they just posted the little picture and nobody said nothing. We already know what time it was. We already know that it was time to get to work. So it's like, there's nothing that needs to be said. There's nothing that needs to be, you know, repeated over and over and over again. We just got to go out there and we just got to show them what we made of.
We're talking to UNC Bears junior linebacker David Hogue. David, how close are you as a group defensively? On the field, obviously, you guys work pretty well together. But off the field, what's that like? I mean, is there a great chemistry? Are you guys, and I want to talk about something that's building some chemistry coming up this weekend, but what is that like off the field with this defensive unit?
We're like a family. It's not just with the defense, it's also with the offense. You know, we're a family. And to build that trust, the defense has to trust in the offense has to trust in the defense. Everybody's going to make mistakes, but at the end of the day, it's like, we trust that you will bounce back from getting knocked back down. That's individually, that's as a team, that's as a unit, that's as an overall program. We know that, okay, yeah, we all hang out, we all try our best to get to know each other. We have freshmen, sometimes freshmen, you know, we need to knock him back into place. I mean, you hear my voice right now, I'm starting to lose it because I'm doing too much yelling, but it's not always bad, you know. I'm always yelling on the field because of excitement, because I love this game too much, because it's something that I would never, ever in my life imagine myself to be. So it's like, for me, I got to love it. I got to appreciate it. There's a lot of people that would love to be in my shoes, so I take that into account. And I feel like that's what everybody does. We don't take football for granted. In fact, we just keep going, keep moving off the field. We're smart with our decisions. And if we see one guy falling off track, we know what to do to get him back on.
Spoken like a true leader, no question about it. What's practice been like for you guys? Nice and cool out there, too, right? It's been hopefully the temperature is cooled down.
You know, I'm used to 1,000-degree weather. It's been cold outside. But in all honesty, practice has been fun. Practice has been really fun with the scout team, with the first team, with the one-on-ones. Defensive line and outside linebackers are 7-on-7s. It's always competitive. It's competitive. It's camp. And I just got to tell you, we cannot wait. We cannot wait until season starts, because there's a lot of built-up anger and built-up tension that we just got to go out there and just hit them hard with.
I mean, you're right. How do you get to the point where you're just almost frustrated because you're like, all right, practice has been good, we're enjoying it, but, man, we're going to need to see somebody else in some different colored uniforms very, very soon.
Yes, absolutely. And I've been wanting to hit so bad. And, of course, our motto is protect the team. No matter what, we got to protect the team. So that's what we've been doing. However, we just got to see another team, so we don't.
Well, so David, does it get intense? I mean, we always hear this, right? And I'm, you know, we talk fights, whatever, trash talk. I mean, do you guys get to that point where it's like, man, we gotta calm it down here a little bit? Everybody's so ready to go, chomping at the bits. Is there some of that that you as a leader kind of have to set in and say, guys, let's settle it down, keep the intensity up, but you know, just a few more weeks and we'll get to see that Houston Baptist team.
I mean, even for myself, I talk my stuff out on the field. You know, I talk trash because I'm preparing everybody for what they're going to see on the field, even when we're going against another player, another athlete, another team. They're going to talk. So I'm just getting them prepared for, okay, keep your composure. Let's see if I can get under your skin. And if I can get under your skin, we're going to talk about it after practice. And so once that happens in the game, you're not going to throw a punch and get it ejected, or it's not going to cause a penalty. That's what I'm trying to install in my athletes' heads, and it's working. Because at first I was talking to myself, and people would get angry and, you know, just like frustrated, and I would start getting it in their heads. Now I'm talking to myself and they just laughing at it. So that was my main objective that I was trying to, you know, be successful at. And for that, I'm proud of myself, and I'm proud of a lot of people on the scene, because we came a very long way. And granted, we still have this long journey to go through, but we definitely came a long way.
Well, I can't wait to see you guys in action on the football field. But, David, I can't let you go without talking about this. Now, I met you in person last year at the GOAT, and you were talking to Jerry Schimmel, I believe, during the coach's show about, you know, the other thing that you do. You're an aspiring chef as well. In fact, I want to hear about this. Over the summer, you studied abroad in various European cities, and you're going to be in charge of Sunday's team dinner this upcoming Sunday. So first off, talk to me about that when you were over in Europe and what you were doing there.
I went to places like Venice, Rome, Paris, London, and I really stayed in Florence most of the time. And I just got to know the different cultures in each one, because everyone is different. You know, everyone is not treated the same, and there are some people who act completely different. The food varieties is impeccable, and it is definitely hard to move around if you don't have a car. But I mainly walk through the whole city of Venice, try to walk during the whole city of Paris. That was a lot, but the number one place I really loved and really enjoyed was Florence. Got to see the different culture. Got to look at the different food markets, the different clothing, all of that good stuff. And once I kind of realized that it's not U.S. food, so you can't really put a lot of things in the refrigerator and leave it for 2 days without it getting rotten or spoiled. So I had to keep running back and forth to the store, back and forth to the store. But it was amazing. You know, we got to learn how to cook fresh pizza. We made fresh pasta. We made a white wine spaghetti sauce. And we made tortellinis with Maine lobster. And it was amazing. It was an amazing experience. And that is something I'll definitely want to do again.
Oh, that's awesome, man. It's 12:18, too. You're making me hungry. It's time to eat anyway. Okay, so two quick questions for you then. Number one, what was the best thing that you tried? Oh, you said Florence was amazing, but as far as the food goes, what was that thing that stuck out in your brain and you're just like, wow, this is life-changing?
I can honestly say it was, of course, it was the meats. You know, it was different. It was different meat varieties and cheese varieties. But one thing that really stuck out to me was, it was a seafood Alfredo. I didn't think I would like, you know, squid or like calamari or anything, or even clams like that. But they put all of that together in one. They put prawns in it, shrimp in it, scallops, and I have to tell you, it was the best seafood pasta I ever tried. And I try to, of course, you know, replicate it or kind of copy it, but it just doesn't work how it does out there. So it's like, I'm still trying, but that was really phenomenal.
Well, you're trying, because that's going to be on the menu, right? Seafood Alfredo is going to be on the menu this Sunday for the team.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so what else is on the menu here? Tell us about that.
We have seafood Alfredo, and for the people who do not eat seafood, we have chicken, bacon, and spinach Alfredo. Then we have baked macaroni and cheese, and I'm doing like a little cultural thing. There's jerk chicken and Polynesian chicken with rice and peas and stuff like that. And one of the other leaders on the football field, he says he cooks too. I haven't tried his cooking yet, but everybody says it's good. It's Cassidy Woods. So I got to give a shout out to Cassie Woods because he's also helping me with these things. So it's definitely going to be a good dinner, not just for, you know, a couple people, but for the coaching staff and the players as well.
Are you nervous about this? Because I know when it comes to football, you're just in your element, but this is also your element. I mean, this is also something that you dream of doing and want to continue to get better at it. Are there some nerves here as you're preparing? Because you're preparing food for the coaching staff too.
Yeah, and sometimes people say you're your own toughest critic, but I'll guarantee you I'll hand that trophy over to the coaches. but no, I'm not nervous at all. I'm very excited. I'm very anxious, and I just can't wait because I've been wanting to do this for a long time. So for me to do that and to also bring somebody else in that wants to cook as well, it's like, you don't see that too much in Greeley.
Yeah.
So I definitely am excited.
Oh, man, just a variety of different foods. My goodness, you're right. You just don't see it. So I'm excited about that, man. And as the season progresses, you know, I can't wait to catch up with you more and more. We'll talk X's and O's. But I'm very curious as well about your aspiring chef goal because I'm excited for you, man. I've heard amazing things about you on that side, too. So sounds like you had a crazy great trip over the summer, and practice is going phenomenally for you guys. We're just pumped for you, my friend, all of the preseason accolades coming up, and I know you're not satisfied, so we just want to wish you the best of luck this upcoming season, and also Sunday with the big dinner coming up, too. So, man, just best of luck from all of us here.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you all.
All right, my man. There he is, David Hogue, junior linebacker for the UNC Bears. The seafood Alfredo baked mac and cheese strawberry cheesecake. That sounds pretty good. So Cassidy Williams, he says, is also kind of he's saying that he's kind of a chef, or he's good with food as well. He's going to be helping David out. So David said, "Hey, I don't know if he is, but we're going to find out." So that'll be interesting. Isn't this a cool thing, though? So this is what I love, these kind of stories. This is a guy that is an amazing football player, but has other interests. And the UNC Bears, and I don't know who set this up or whatever, but the UNC Athletic Department said we want to support that. We want to blow that up. We want to show you that we care about you in other ways too, man. This is something you also want to do. Well, let's set this thing up. So that's going to be Sunday, August 14th. Dinner starts at 5 o'clock. They are inviting media to go by and check things out. It's going to be the Holmes Dining Hall. And David Hogue is going to be serving up some great food coming up for his coaching staff and his players. 12:23 the time. We're going to wrap up the show on the other side before we send it out to Rockies pregame coverage with Jerry Schimmel and Jack Corrigan. But we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 at KFKA.
Teams rolls on with Roosevelt Talk, presented by TBK Bank. Hear all about the Rough Riders tonight at 5 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Krista McKeo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
.12:28 the time. What'd you think of that, James? Pretty good, huh? Getting there.
It was something special, to say the least.
Getting better every day. Hopefully the Rockies are getting better every day. They're going to win the series against the Cardinals. Rubber match coming up at 1:10.
No.
No. That's going to be a no from Jades. I'm feeling the same way. That's coming up next, though. We'll get to pregame coverage. We're going to send it out to Jack Corrigan and Jerry Schimmel, the voices of the Colorado Rockies. Big shout-out to our guy, Kevin Lytle, from the Fort Collins, Colorado. We're talking all things Rams. And David Hogue, UNC stud linebacker for the Bears. So I'm excited to see what he can do this season. And apparently he's a pretty damn good chef, too. So that's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on Friday's show. Don't forget, tonight is Roosevelt Rough Riders Night on 13 Days, 13 Teams. We continue with our high school football preview edition that we do every year. Clark is tearing it up. It's great stuff, as always. That's going to do for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
Baseball 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Rockies on Deck.
One ball, two strikes,
one. Another.
PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. I am Brady Hull. On the other side of the bulletproof glass, Jades of Spades. How are you, my friend? Got the Chris Bryant. I mean, you're not giving up hope on the... You have more jerseys than I thought you did, getting to know you. But you're not giving up hope with the Rockies because you're still sporting your Rockies gear.
I'm giving up hope.
It's good for you to still support them, though, even when you've given up hope.
I'm rooting for Chris Bryant to come back. I'm rooting for his health.
Do you come back? Does he come back? Do you even mess with it this year?
At this point, there's no point.
Ah, boy. Lost last night. There's another, again, Tuesday night was, or wait, what was it? What was yesterday? Tuesday night was fun. It was great. Enjoy it while it happens, but then come back down to reality. Be ready to come back down to reality. As the Rockies lose 9-5 to St. Louis, Kyle Freeland now 7-8 on the season. Then that's it. That's our Rockies talk today. Got a lot of stuff to get to in a short time today. Speaking of the Rockies, we will have the rubber match. Maybe they can win the series against St. Louis. There's some justice there, beating Nolan Arenado's squad. Marquez is going to the mound. So we'll send it over to Jerry Schimmel and Jack Corrigan at 12:30 today for the pregame show. So we're on for an hour and a half here. Two guests today, Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and talking CSU. They had their scrimmage yesterday around 9 o'clock. I'm not able to go to those, Jades, because I have to be here and prep for the show and do a show starting at 11. So a little difficult for me. Planning to go out to practice tomorrow morning. I'm actually planning to go out to UNC practice this afternoon. And a good thing, too, because we're going to have this guy on, David Hogue. David Hogue for the UNC Bears, the linebacker for the Bears. He is getting preseason award after award. How about this one? Another preseason All-America honor. The honor is his fifth preseason recognition. It's the preseason All-America team. Announces preseason All-America teams. Hogue is earning a spot on the second team. This is the fifth preseason recognition for him to go with the Buck Buchanan watch list, All Big Sky, Stats Perform, and Phil Steele All-America. My goodness, he was third-team All-America selection by the AP and Stats Perform in 2021 and made the Heroes spot sophomore All-America team. Excited to talk to him. Did you know this, though, Jades? David Hogue, not only is he the best player for the Bears, maybe he's going to be the best player in the Big Sky Conference. Check this out. He is going to host a dinner on Sunday. All-American linebacker David Hogue does more than terrorize opposing offenses, written by Ryan Pfeiffer, director of strategic communication for the Bears. He's also an aspiring chef. He was on last year's coaches show, and we learned that. Great guy. He wants to be, football is going to be football, and he'll do that for, I'm sure, as long as he wants or can. But he also wants to be a chef. Over the summer, he studied abroad in various European cities and now will be in charge of Sunday's team dinner at Holmes Dining Hall. Sunday, August 14th, the dinner starts to be served at 5 o'clock. It's going to be a really cool deal. So I like this guy a lot. Great personality. We're going to have him on the show at 12:05. So we're going to bust through it today. Busy, busy program for you, no doubt about it. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day. How about this one, Jane? Fill in the blank. It would be considered a failed season for the Broncos if they don't have a winning record, They don't make the playoffs. They don't win a playoff game. They don't go deep in the playoffs, or they don't win a Super Bowl. What are your expectations, Broncos fans? I talked about this a little bit yesterday, but I kind of just wanted to get everybody's thought process here. What would be considered a failed season? Do you think it is, in fact, playoffs or bust? Or would you be satisfied with a winning record? How about this? 40% of the hooligans are saying they don't have a winning record. That's the expectation. So it's so to 40%, to the majority of the hooligans today, you're saying that if they don't have a winning record, then it would be considered a failed season. That's the kind of, you know, coming at it with realistic expectations that I think we need at this point. Do you expect... See, like, I think they're a playoff team. There is a difference, though, between, hey, I'm expecting them to be a playoff team. If they don't, then I think changes are coming. No, it's not playoff or bust. It's they need to be a playoff team, or they will be a playoff team, but I think they have to have a winning record. You have to... Because I think the West is tough, and it's going to be a difficult time for them to get into the playoffs. It's going to be a battle. No question about it. They're going to have to win, I think, 10 games at least to get in. Guy says they need to make the playoffs. The Broncos were 5-11 in 2020 under Fangio. They improved two games to 7-10 in 2021. They probably would be 9-8 under Fangio with Russell Wilson. I agree with that. Does Russell give you two more wins if he's on the roster last year? I'll go with you there. They mortgaged the farm, rightfully so, to do well in the playoffs with Wilson and Hackett. I agree that it's a new regime that has to learn how to play together. This season is a failure if it's not in the playoffs or even competes until the end for the playoffs. So, Guy, you're kind of changing it at the end. So you're saying, okay, it's a failure if it's not in the playoffs, or they need to at least be, you know, with two weeks left in the season, they're still mathematically in the equation. All they have to do is maybe win out. So you're saying they have to at least give themselves a shot? Noob says if CU has more wins than the Broncos, then it's a failed season. I don't think that's happening. CU's going to be lucky to get four. That's just where I'm going with it based on what I know from last year. And I don't know, the excitement factor, the quarterback situation. We'll see. They got a new offensive coordinator, but I don't know. Broncos will have a better record. It's going to be the more successful football team. That should be a poll question, too. People always get weird when I mix this because we talk a lot. We talk Broncos, Rams, Buffs, Bears, sometimes Air Force, sometimes Wyoming. So I mix those questions. Who's going to have the more successful football team next year? People will be like, why are you mixing Broncos in with it? Because that's who we cover. Who's going to be more successful? Seriously. Air Force? The Broncos? Now, it's all respectively, like within their leagues, within their divisions and all that stuff. But here's my list. I'm going to go like this for you, Jades. Air Force, Denver, CSU, Wyoming, UNC, CU. Does that make sense? Does that work?
I think that's the list I would have came up with, too.
CU is the worst one. And then UNC,
I think so.
Then Wyoming, then CSU, then Denver, then Air Force. Yeah, I feel good about that. Thanks, Noob. See, the hooligans know how to get me off the rails and just start going in different directions. Thank you, Noob. I appreciate it. Bama Bear, unsuccessful if Drew Lock goes out and shines. Ooh, that's good. That's a good take. So if Drew Lock, I think you got to mix that, though, Bama Bear. If Drew Lock goes out, and let's just say, let's get wild here. Drew Lock leads his team to the playoffs. And Denver misses out. Unsuccessful? Biggest blunder? One of the big blunders for the Broncos? Another quarterback fail?
Well, the problem is that Drew Lock isn't even going to be starting.
You don't know that, James. If the NFL would stop trying to get him, just out to get Drew Lock. They're out to get him, dude.
You're right. If the NFL wasn't out to get him, he'd be a top five quarterback easy.
The NFL's just scared that Drew Lock's going to take Patrick Mahomes' thunder and Tom Brady's thunder. They're just terrified of all that Drew Lock can do because they've never seen anything like it.
He just throws bullets. That's all there is to it, dude.
I thought he was going to throw that football through the net. He was throwing it so hard. I saw smoke come off the football when it connected with the netting. I thought, man, look out. Get the fire department out there. Be careful, guys.
I think it's a prerequisite that you draft Drew Lock in the whole show fantasy challenge.
Oh, no. I'll draft him number one because I'm making a statement. The NFL's out to screw this guy over. I don't know why. Is it because he likes Buzz Lightyear? Is it because he does funny things and dances? He has too much fun? And the NFL's like, no, we don't want fun guys here. No.
You're just going to give out the belt for free then? You're not even going to put up a fight?
Yeah, he's got to beat out Geno, doesn't he? Whew. Got to beat him out first. Got to get a shot. Noob says Mark Johnson thinks the Buffs will be in the bowl conversation. I don't believe that. Mark would know more than me. He's around the team more. But I think, and I'm guilty of this too, we can all get kind of lost in the sauce, right? We can get lost when we're out covering teams closely and you're talking to players. You kind of start to just go, yeah, I like the way this guy sounds. Oh, I like the way he's talking about the quarterback. I like the way the quarterback's throwing the ball through the net. And you can kind of get into it a little bit. All right, so go vote on that one. Jades, we need to get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Boy, I think the good for me is gotta be the situation yesterday. Rob Walton, the Penners speaking, the players speaking about their press conference. It just seemed exciting. There was a lot of excitement surrounding this organization. Greg Penner talking about even Russell Wilson, kind of hearing them just go into it. I mean, they're saying all the right things.
Well, first of all, we couldn't have been more excited as we were going through the process to see that the organization had made the trade for Russell. You know, it's critical to have a great quarterback in this league. And so to come in with Russell Wilson in place is a tremendous benefit for us. On our first diligence trip in May here, one of the first people we ran into in the hallway when Rob and Carrie and I were here was Russell. And right away you got a sense for how positive he is as a leader. He's just such a dynamic individual. And I can't wait to see him on the field. I don't know how much we'll see of him on the field on Saturday, but we're looking forward to it. And at this point, nothing to say about his contract.
Yeah, but they just love him so much. You know he's going to sign a long-term contract. The bad today is the Rockies. Hey, they weren't the ugly. That's cool. I mean, just the bad. They could still win the series against St. Louis. They start this thing off at 1-10 today. That's the bad. They lose 9-5. I thought Freeland was going to have a breakdown game. I just had a feeling. He'd been so good. But the trends with Kyle Freeland are, you know, he tears it up, and then bam, falls apart. I was right. Get used to it, James. The ugly, and this is a disturbing story, so we can go ahead and fade down on that one. The Vanessa Bryant thing. Vanessa Bryant, of course, Kobe Bryant's wife. Vanessa Bryant's attorney argues photos of Kobe Bryant's remains shared for a laugh. The story available at ESPN.com. Yeah, it's just, I'm just going to read the first couple of lines. An institutional culture of callousness led Los Angeles County deputies and firefighters to shoot and share photos of the remains of Kobe Bryant and other victims of the 2020 helicopter crash that killed, of course, the Lakers star and his 13-year-old daughter and seven others. A lawyer for Bryant's widow told a jury on Wednesday. Vanessa Bryant's attorney, Luis Lee, told jurors in his opening statement in U.S. District Court in her invasion of privacy trial against the county that the cell phone photos shot at the crash scene by a deputy and a fire captain were visual gossip viewed for a laugh and had no official purpose. It's just an ugly story. I don't think this is like it's beyond a take for anything to talk about it. All I'll say is this. If for some reason, if that's all true, that they took these photos for visual gossip and for a laugh, it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. It's heart-wrenching. It makes me want to vomit if that's all true. So, again, we'll see what this story comes out. Now, the opposing lawyer said site photography is essential. So you're going to be able to see both sides presented here. But if what Vanessa Bryant's attorney is claiming is true, it's sickening. You certainly hope. You just hope people are not that way. And you damn sure hope that a deputy and a fire captain, you know, are not that way. 19 minutes after the hour, anytime these stories come up about Kobe Bryant, of course, his daughter in that situation, it just, it's just awful. It's awful. Sometimes I forget about it. You know, I'm like, oh, is that real? Oh, that's right. You know, seriously, my wife bought me a Kobe Bryant book for Christmas, and I was reading through that, and you just kind of forget listening, hearing all of his quotes, and you're like, man, that guy's great. Oh, wow. And then it kind of hits you all over again. What a sad, terrible, terrible story that was. 20 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, my guy Kevin Lytle coming up next. He's recovering. He hasn't been feeling too well. But we'll see what news he can give us from yesterday's scrimmage from Colorado State. This is the scrimmage each other, right? And what Jay Norvell was really looking for. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. This is Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the Allo Communications Studios. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We'll have Rockies coverage beginning at 12:30 for you as the rubber match set to go at 1:10 between St. Louis and Colorado. In the meantime, we've got our guy on, Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and he is our Rams insider. Nobody better when it comes to great, thorough Rams coverage than what the folks at the Coloradoan do. And, of course, Kevin leading that. Kevin, my man, how you feeling, my friend?
I'm doing good. I've been on the pup list for the week. Hopefully we'll be off for next week and back out in action, but not doing better. Had a little bout of COVID, but I'm on the mend. Happy to say.
Well, I saw you tweet about it, and I got to say it. I got like 4 weeks ago, so I know I wasn't the reason. So I just wanted to clear the air there, Kevin. I wanted to make sure you didn't hate me or anything. I was not the reason. I did the quarantine thing, so there you go, man. I have proof. I have an alibi.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm just riding out through this quarantine, and it's good that I'm bored, but because that means I'm feeling better. But I'm definitely getting bored and ready to get back out at it.
Man, it's gotta be tough though. Like you're getting set for the season. You know, summer, we're chomping at the bit to get into Rams coverage. And again, you are the guy. You're there every single day. And then, bam! As soon as practice starts, you pretty much get it. So I feel for you, my friend.
Yeah, definitely a weird thing, but I guess that's the world we're in right now. Just thankful to be feeling good and. Football will come. It'll all be all right. So I'll be happy to be back out there.
Well, so what can you tell us then? Because I know you have your little birdies everywhere as far as people giving you insight. What can you tell us? I wasn't able to get to the scrimmage yesterday. The timing doesn't work for the show. But I did watch the video via the Coloradoan. And Jay Norvell, he didn't seem like he was that impressed with the scrimmage, but also not. He didn't seem like he was surprised that he wasn't that impressed, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it sounded like, some offensive struggles, which, isn't a massive shock. I also talked to our guy Mike Rowe from the Ram Nation podcast. He was out there, and he said the defense looks pretty good, a lot of D-line pressure, which makes sense. We like this D-line. I think it's a good unit. And the offense, we knew there were going to be some growing pains. Four transfers that are starting on the O-line, so they've played a lot but not together, and some of them have shifted positions. Torey Horton and Melquan Stovall played at Nevada, but not even with Clay Millen. I don't believe Torey even, I don't think he was suited up yesterday. I'm not sure if Melquan was. So you still have kind of a mishmash group of things, and it's less than a week into camp, really. So my main takeaway always on these early scrimmages is to not have any huge takeaways. There's some things you can learn, but don't overreact, good or bad. You know, it's just so early. The one cool thing, fun to see, I'm sure everyone saw some of the videos from CSU football. Justice Ross Simmons had a couple incredible catches. He's one of the four freshman receivers and one of the guys that looks like he'll probably have a role early on. And obviously we know pass catchers are highly valued in this offense. So it's cool to see him make some big plays.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When you can see kind of standout performances like that, like his, you know, you can take that away. But I agree with you 100%. There's only so much that you should responsibly take away from these early team scrimmages and such. And again, even listening to Jay Norvell, he's kind of like, yeah, our offense wasn't sharp, but that's kind of what these are. These are evaluating. So if it was perfection, you know, we'd probably be shocked at that point. So again, when you listen to Norvell, you know, it's like he kind of sounded upset, but not surprised necessarily. What has stuck out to you though? What since practice started Friday, and from when you were able to attend, and just again from what you're hearing. Anything in particular, any kind of red flags or the opposite of that, any kind of big positives that have really stuck out to you?
No, I mean, I think it's felt, you know, like in early camp, a lot of optimism, especially with this group. It's been interesting. It seems like there, you know, you have a group of guys from Nevada that, you know, did win at, you know, at some level of pretty good success. You have the CSU holdover guys who, you know, haven't won at all in college. And it seems like those two sort of sides are molding and merging together in a pretty nice way to what feels like a pretty motivated group to, you know, get this thing steering in the right direction. So it seems like the kind of various groups you have coming together to make this team seem to be clicking and moving in the right direction. Again, it's camp, and most camps are optimistic, but it's definitely a different feel and vibe than it has been, and you know, a good energy. So I think everyone's ready for the season. You know, it's still a long haul camp. You know, really did still just start, so we're still just really in the infancy. But I think a lot of these guys are pretty itching to get games going because they want to get some wins because it's been a while.
Kevin, the Tanner was going over the lines. He pays attention to that a lot more than I do. CSU Michigan, I think he told me, I want to say that it's opening up as a plus 27.5 for CSU. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's, I hadn't looked in a while. Someone just asked me online about that too, and that's the one I had seen a while back. I think that makes sense. I think that's a pretty decent line. Michigan, you know, they're number 6 in the coaches' poll. They'll be somewhere right around there in the AP poll as well, which comes out Monday. Obviously, the Big House is named that for a reason, so that's quite a daunting task. So we'll see. I mean, I think 27 is a pretty reasonable line, to be real honest. I guess if I had to be forced right now to say which way, I'd go slightly under. But I think that's an understandable line.
What's the weakness you think on the offense? Because we've talked a lot about it, Kevin. We've talked a lot about Clay Millen being a young guy, getting his first start against Michigan on the road. It's going to be crazy. We've talked about Torrey Horton. We've talked about, as you said, Justin Ross Simmons, pass catchers, tight end game. Do you look at the offense first and say, okay, well, these are going to be some weaknesses going in that we've heard about, we've seen, that if they've got to address these, otherwise it's going to be a long year?
Yeah, in some ways, I think it's just cohesion because, you know, I think all your parts are pretty solid, but it's all coming from different places. Very little of it has ever worked together. You know, whether, like I say, even Horton and Stovall, they caught some passes from Clay Millen last year, but mostly they're catching balls from Carson Strong in practice. So even them, you know, they have some familiarity, but not years and years of it. So I think just getting cohesion, I mentioned the O-line, also depth on that O-line. If you have injuries, that's going to be trouble. That, you know, that's the case with most teams. But those are kind of the things. And obviously Clay Millen, you know, it's not a negative, but he's will be playing his first college games, and there's going to be a learning curve, especially when your first game is, you know, freaking Michigan. So I think just some of those things, there's no huge red flag, I would say, of like, oh boy, this offense may not work. Just an understanding that this offense isn't going to be at the same place that Nevada's was last year, when you had, you know, Carson Strong that had been in the system, you know, 3 or 4 years, and some of these guys that have been playing together for 3 or 4 years.
So, Kevin, I want to ask you this question then, because our poll question is about the Broncos. Basically, fill in the blank. It would be considered a failed season for the Broncos if. Let's go with you on the CSU side of things, because you're right. There's going to be a lot of fans that are just expecting this to be Nevada 2.0. A lot of guys came over. They're going to pick up right where they left off. There's going to be some growing pains. In your mind, and again, it's not like Jay Norvell's on the hot seat. I don't think anybody's really on the hot seat this season. But in your mind, it would be considered a failed season for the Colorado State Rams if. What does that look like to you?
Certainly, if you don't improve your win total from 3, I would probably even say if you don't improve it by 2. I think, I don't want to say bowl would be a fail, because I think it's very reasonable to see how a 5-7 could happen without any big disasters. But I think if you're at 3 wins or maybe even 4 wins, that's probably not where you would hope to be, despite how big of a change needed to happen.
Yeah, I agree. I think, and again, this is all just, we just kind of throwing darts at the beginning of the season, right? But, you know, I could see maybe how Colorado State gets to 6 wins. But that's, of course, not knowing about every single team and what exactly they've done. Now, we know the Fresno States, the Boise States, and the Air Forces are going to be really tough. But there's a lot of question marks surrounding other teams as well. So I'm kind of with you where I'm more or less expecting 5 wins. But I do think that 6 wins is achievable.
Yeah, I would say, you know, almost flipping your question, what would be a big win, you know, a successful season? I think a bowl, and I think that's very reasonable. I mean, to be honest, if, you know, I'm sure I'll do a kind of a prediction later, but right now my prediction would probably be 6-6. So I think CSU can very legitimately be a bowl team. So I think that's your win. Again, I was talking to those Ram Nation guys yesterday who do such a great job, and we were talking about how I think fans would welcome a New Mexico Bowl with open arms this year, whereas in 2017 that was a letdown and a disappointment. A New Mexico Bowl this year, I think, would be really well received by CSU fans, because it would be a sign of moving in the right direction and, you know, good things to come.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you too about our friends at Ram Nation. Amazing dudes over there. I love that network that they've created. And if you look back at Coach Norvell's first year with Nevada, 3-9. It sounds like neither of us really think that that they're going to be that bad, that they'll come over. But then you see the follow up season. 8-5, they win an Arizona Bowl. Then they're 7-6, 7-2. 8-4. I mean, so this is a guy that is pretty successful, but you think with all the resources given at CSU, why can't you improve all of those win totals up by a few games? So I think that the first year we're right on the money, kind of 5-6. I think that the over under is probably 5 for CSU if we want to talk about it locally.
Yep, and it's a different era in college football too. His first year at Nevada, you couldn't bring guys in. They had,
sure.
Well, you could, but they had to sit. So turning a roster over is a lot different than it is now, whereas all these guys, just imagine if Clay Mill and Melquan Stovall, Torrey Horton, all these guys had to sit out a year, we'd be talking about a whole different thing, wouldn't we? But since they can all play, it helps you reset and rebuild a lot quicker than you used to be able to. So, there's a lot of argument and positives and negatives to transfer portal and all that, all the different things going on. But for a CSU, if you didn't have the ability to transfer and play right away, this would be a lot longer rebuild that we're talking about.
Yeah, which I agree. It's a positive, but maybe it does kind of ramp up that pressure a little bit more than it would if, not given the transfer portal and everything. Kevin, my man, always great stuff from you. Appreciate you rolling with us today, because we're getting preempted at 12:30 your normal time. You get to feeling better. I want to see you out there very soon. I'm heading out tomorrow morning, and then hopefully, you know, the next couple of days in the weekend, you'll be rock and rolling. But I know in the meantime, you'll still be working. You'll still be getting stuff out for the Coloradoan.
Yep, awesome. Excited to be back out there, and thanks for having me on.
Oh, and before I forget, I'll just make the announcement here. We know we're relaunching Rams Weekly with you and Chris Abshire, so I'm joining forces with you guys from the Coloradoan for a Thursday program, kind of a pre-football kind of deal, talking all things Colorado State and Mountain West. So nobody better to be doing a show with on that side of it specifically than with you two gentlemen.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really excited to get that going. There's going to be a lot of fun stuff to talk about this year. So excited to get that going and hope everyone tunes into that as well.
Can't wait, my man. All right, Kevin, you get to feeling better. We'll talk to you very, very soon. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And yes, we will be doing that show. We went by a different name last year, but we're calling it Rams Weekly. Coming up Thursdays in a couple of weeks, so the week before the season starts, I believe, Thursdays at 5 o'clock. So that'll lead you right into either our preps game or whatever NFL game we're carrying for you here. There's nobody does it better. I mean, we got an FCS Nation show talking Big Sky Conference and UNC Bears. We've got NFL programming on this station. We've got Rams Weekly coming up. We're going to have high school football Friday Night Lights, our Football Friday rocking and rolling. So all of that is going to be happening, man. So do not tune away from KFKO. We've got you covered all the time. 39 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out of here and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Forty-four minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Remember, we're off at 12:30. We'll send it over to Jerry Schimmel and Jack Corrigan for the rubber match between the Cardinals and the Rockies. We'll have David Hogue on the program at the top of the hour, an absolute stud for the UNC Bears. So excited to catch up with him. Do want to shout out to No Limit Collectibles. Buy, sell, trade. There's no limit to what you can collect. I know growing up, I was a big cards guy, and I still love football and basketball cards. And if maybe you're a collector, maybe you're thinking about becoming a collector, or someone in your family is, perfect opportunity. Stop by No Limit Collectibles. There's really no limit to what you can collect. They have a lot of unique items there, not just the card side of it, too, but also just stuff to decorate, stuff to make that office pop or the man cave. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. My good in the good, the bad, the ugly today was really just the Greg Penner, Rob Walton, Kerry Penner, all being out there talking about their vision for the Broncos. Rob Walton, Kerry Walton Penner, Melody Hobson, Condoleezza Rice, Lewis Hamilton wasn't there because I think he's racing and stuff. But it was just, it just feels like they're bringing in this group. I just liked the way they all talked and complimented one another. Troy Rank from Denver 7 posted this, and I think this is the best way to summarize it. The Broncos new owners met the media. Greg Penner is the new CEO of an impressive group. It's about winning, holding themselves accountable, and empowering the football people. I like that, you know, holding themselves accountable. It's this group of people coming together, great minds, too. Like, this is an impressive group. This is a star-studded group. Now, it's not John Elway and Peyton Manning, like we had talked about, but this group is very well-versed in the business aspect, the football aspect, even the political landscape aspect of this. And I love it. People that don't pay attention, Condoleezza Rice is not just a political person. She was on the college football playoff committee for 3 terms. She was a huge part in getting the college football playoffs. I know we complain about it needing to expand, or I do specifically, but had it not been for her and a few others, we wouldn't have it at all. So she's very forward-thinking, very innovative. And again, just listening to Greg Penner talk about Russell Wilson, talk about the future of this team, I always say this about press conferences, Jades. You can't lose a press conference. 99.9% of the time, press conferences are going to be fluff. And, hey, we're going to try our best, and we're going to put our good team together, and we'll go out there and just get her done. But you can win a press conference. You can't lose one, but you can win one. Most of the time, you can take a press conference and go, yeah, whatever, it was a press conference. Steve Adazio's press conference was like, yeah, fine, rah, rah, neato. I don't really buy anything right now, not till I'm there. Jay Norvell won the press conference. Ed McCaffrey, again, just a press conference, just whatever. That's what it was. I believe just watching pieces of this presser from all of them, they won it. Now, it was set up for them to win because Broncos country we have been waiting for so long for this just to get done. And then when you add the names and you see the money that the Walton Group has, you hear Greg Penner talk about Russell Wilson, you hear their vision about how they can build a championship organization, I think you do get excited. Penner said everybody's going to be involved. Obviously, with the six of us, somebody to be on point, so I'll take that role. He will be the CEO. So you'll be seeing probably most from me here. But as you heard, this is just an incredible group, and we're going to draw on all of them as we go through this. Rob and Kerry, they'll be here obviously a lot with me, as well on dealing with any big issues or questions or strategic decisions that we're making. Then, most of all, we're just really looking forward to all having fun together with this. Obviously, this is a business, but this is a sports franchise, and we want to win, and that's our goal. And part of that is having a lot of fun as a family and with this group while we do that. It's a weird time for Broncos fans because Pat Bowlen was so beloved. He was one of those owners that you walked back and you just said, that guy understood that owning a team is different than owning a business. You own a team for your fan base. You are about your fans. That's why I always say I'm a big free market guy, capitalism and all that stuff. I love it. Make that money while you can. But I have said this. When it comes to owning a sports franchise, I do want say there. It's a different business. It's different than anything else. And Pat Bowlen got that maybe more than any owner in the history of sports. Maybe. And I'm sad about it because growing up, Pat was the man. You know, it wasn't just John Elway. It was Pat Bowlen. It wasn't just Mike Shanahan. You know, a lot of times the owners are in the shadows, even as a kid growing up. Nobody's caring about, and Jade, you're a young guy. 5 years ago, did you really care about ownership as much? 10 years ago, Pat Bowlen made you care, though. My family loved Pat Bowlen. We all loved Pat Bowlen. So it's a tough time, bittersweet, but when you hear the way they talk, and I do like the six of us aspect. Like, we're all working together. You got to vibe from that. You looked up at the podium and you're like, look at all of these great minds together that seem to get that it's a business, but it's also fun. So I'm excited about it. I can't wait to see what they do. Yeah, I can't wait to see what they do in the next 5 years. That's when you'll really probably start to see their stamp being put on this team. 11:50 the time. We're going to wrap up hour number one, and then a short second hour. David Hogue will join me, UNC Bears standout, in a few minutes, so we're looking forward to that. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Monday Night Football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey everybody, this is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
5 minutes until the 12 o'clock hour. Thanks for being with us here on the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. When we come back in the second hour, we're going to catch up with David Hogue for the UNC Bears. This guy's a special guy, special player, too. He's the one you're centering this season around. He is one of those players that I think the Bears are going to be relying on heavily, and I think that defense is going to be pretty good, obviously led by him. So we'll talk to David about it on the other side. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. How about this one, Jades? You brought this to my attention a few days ago, but Tom Brady is still kind of out of the picture here for training camp because personal matters right now he's citing. So we don't know a lot of details about that at this point, but he's not slated to come back until like later into August. According to ESPN.com, Tom Brady will be away from the team for a period of time to deal with some personal things. Coach Todd Bowles said Thursday. Bowles said Brady's absence was discussed in advance, that he will return after next week's preseason game against the Tennessee Titans on August 20th. Bowles went on to say, "This is something we talked about before training camp started. We allotted this time because he wanted to get in and get chemistry with the guys and go through 2 weeks of training camp knowing he wasn't going to play the first two games." We'll certainly see what's going to happen there. He was asked if it was health-related. He said it's a personal issue. That's all I can tell you. That's all we know. 11:57 the time, second hour, coming up next. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy.